You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
The South African Rugby Union has postponed a vote on the sale of equity to a US consortium due to pressure from the sports minister. The delay reflects growing concerns over the implications of the deal for the future of South African rugby, the sale sparking debate regarding ownership, governance and the long-term sustainability of the sport. Andy Calhoun is the General Manager of Corporate Affairs at the South African Rugby Union and joins me first up on the program. And Andy, first of all, why has SARU postponed the vote then as far as the sale is concerned?
Yes, we had a communication from the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, Mr. Gayton McKenzie, on the morning of a President's Council meeting in Cape Town. The day before, we had scheduled a special general meeting to consider a proposal by the Ackerley Sports Group to buy a 20% shareholding in a new commercial rights company. His point of view, and we have every sympathy with him, was that it was a very newsworthy and highly reported and discussed proposed transaction, and he asked for more time to consider and to hear again from us. We have previously briefed him on the subject, but he did ask an opportunity to speak once again on the subject.
Do you think that SARU's jumped the gun on this issue?
We started the conversation in 2018 with an organization called CVC Capital Partners. That conversation ran through 2019, kind of semi-paused during COVID, resumed in 2022 and 2023, and was a conversation that our members, who have the final say on such transactions, had clearly mandated us to proceed with. So it has been coming a long time. In December last year, the Ackerley Sports Group and CVC made a presentation to our members, and the members identified unanimously Ackerley Sports Group as their preferred bidder. So we have then been in a period of negotiation with them, and we have now got to the point where we have a negotiated agreement on the terms that were first presented to the members. So it probably, in terms of this year, we have moved ahead as fast as we could. But the process, the conversation, the need has been long identified.
What's the strategic thinking behind the sale?
Well, there's a number of objectives. The first one is that SA Rugby has zero reserves. If we had another COVID, we would be wiped out as a sport, or we'd be playing amateur rugby. So one of the first planks of any equity deal, regardless of who it would be to create a reserve that SA Rugby could fund itself through times of trouble. Secondly, we always have a short-term budgetary issue in a year, but that's a small part of it. But the biggest reason is that this preferred partner, the Ackerley Sports Group, will open us to networks, to platforms, to future corporate partners that as SA Rugby we just don't have access to at the moment. We're a business that breaks even just about by the skin of our teeth on an annual basis, but it's always a struggle. And if you compare our business to that of some of our European and our peers in New Zealand, we are a small commercial operation compared to them. I think the most graphic example is the New Zealand, the sponsors on the New Zealand jersey earn eight times as much as the Springbok sponsors that we earn from our Springbok jersey sponsors. So we lag commercially. And with Ackerley's expertise and experience in various sports around the world, we believe that they can take us, really make a step change in our commercial prospects.
The argument is that you haven't looked hard enough at alternative funding strategies to maintain financial stability. Is that fair?
There were other considerations. Simple loans were considered, but we regarded that as just dumb money and it doesn't help you grow the business. We also spoke to several other interested partners, both from the Middle East, from other South African potential investors, from other European investors. And when it came to the end of the line, as it were, there were only two parties still standing. And that's why we arrived at that decision last December to go with the Ackerleys.
Andy, there is a concern that any equity sale could impact the governance of South African rugby. In other words, influence is lost.
Well, there's a very clear distinction between the two entities. What will happen is that if this deal were to go through, or if a future equity deal with a different partner was to go through, a commercial rights company would be created in which all of the broadcast rights, the sponsorship rights, the licensing and eventing rights would be vested, 80% of that retained by SA Rugby. There will be a board created with six members, three from SA Rugby, three from the investor, and then an independent chairman who would be nominated by the investor and approved and signed off by SA Rugby. So they will then shape the commercial future of this organization, and that gives them control over that side of the business. What we see, the expertise that they will be particularly around digital transformation and fan engagement. We've got a large online following at SA Rugby, but we've never had the resources or the skills and the expertise to create a meaningful relationship at a digital level with that audience. And on the other side, the contracts of Rassie Erasmus, of Sia Khaleesi, of the Springboks, of our Springbok women, of our sevens teams, all of our competitions, they'll be run by the existing SA Rugby structures.
What's the plan if the sports minister says no deal?
Well, first of all, he would be in a little bit of trouble for interfering, which I think he is averse to doing because of sort of global sporting regulations about what happens to teams at which sports get interfered. You then get taken off international rosters. But if, for whatever reason, the deal was not to go ahead, SA Rugby will continue as it does at the moment. I'm sure we would then begin to look at a different route with a different investor, by a different process, but the need will remain. We're a business that, as I say, is struggles each year to break even. We have very little funding from government. It's 0.0004% of our income. Everything we earn from sponsors, from gate tickets, from broadcast goes back into the playing of the game. So we do need to make a step change. So we would continue to search and probably by a different route and maybe by a different process.
Just a final question. In terms of the bigger rugby fraternity in South Africa and the union specifically, is there broad consensus that this is a good thing and that it will even influence and assist local rugby development?
I think the fact that they unanimously approved both seeking private equity partnership and identifying the Accolade Sports Group was an indication that they do see that this is a route that's needed. Obviously, in the most recent weeks, there have been concerns raised about the structure of this deal and some of the finer detail of it. We hope that we're addressing that. We're continuing to address that with our members. But I think there's general consensus that this is the way to go. And the simple fact that our four United Rugby Championship franchises have their own private equity investment would indicate that there's broad acknowledgement that we cannot do rugby things in rugby ways without help from corporate expertise.
Andy Calhoun, GM Corporate Affairs at the South African Rugby Union, thank you very much for joining me today.